Well, good morning, Plantation Community Church, and if you'll please take your Bibles at this time and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We're going to be looking at Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 3. Last week, we began our new series on Hebrews, chapter 11, entitled Growing in Faith. And really, no other chapter in the Bible addresses the topic of faith as completely, as exhaustively as Hebrews chapter 11. And we saw last week that verse 1 of Hebrews 11 gives us what we could call a working definition of faith. That faith is a deep conviction or certainty about things which we cannot see and yet nevertheless are real, a certainty about realities that we cannot see. And these things that we cannot see, they may be present spiritual realities. We can't see them because they're not visible to our human eyes. Some examples of present spiritual realities that we cannot see would include the forgiveness of our sins, the enthronement of Jesus in heaven, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the presence of angels among us. We can't see any of those things, and yet they are real. Or they may be future realities that we cannot see. Why? Because they're future. And some examples of future realities that we cannot see would include the second coming of Christ, the resurrection from the dead, the glorification of our bodies, eternal life in heaven. We can't see them. Why? Because they're future, and yet they are still real. And so faith deals with both unseen present realities, which are spiritual in nature, and unseen future realities, which we have not yet experienced because they have not yet happened. As we said last week, if you can see it, it's not faith, right? And if it's not real, then it's not faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of realities that we do not see. And then we saw that Hebrews goes on in verse 2, chapter 11, verse 2, to say that this type of faith, this is what the Old Testament believers were commended for. You know, we saw they didn't live perfect lives, right? They failed miserably in many ways, and yet each of them was commended for their faith. And then Hebrews chapter 11 proceeds now, after verses 1 and 2, proceeds to work its way through the major persons and events of the Old Testament to show how this faith operated in each of their lives. And that brings us to our verse today, verse 3. And Hebrews 11, verse 3 begins really where the Old Testament begins, with the creation of the world. Hear now the word of God. Hebrews 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. This is the word of God. Now, this verse answers a very important question for us about faith that we really left unanswered last week. If true biblical faith deals with realities that we cannot see, how do we know what is real, right? How do we know what is real and what is not? How do we know what to believe in? For example, we said that being sure of what we hope for, that refers to future realities that we cannot see. We can't see them because they haven't happened yet. Well, if they haven't happened yet, how do we know that they're real? How do we know that they will happen? Being certain of what we do not see, that refers to present spiritual realities that we cannot see. We cannot see them because they are spiritual in nature. And we are physical beings who discern reality through our physical senses. Well, once again, if we are limited in our ability to discern reality, if we cannot actually see all of these spiritual realities, how do we know they're real? And that's the question we want to explore today. On what basis do you exercise faith as a Christian? On what basis do you exercise faith as a Christian? And Hebrews 11, verse 3 points us to the answer. The answer is simply this: faith is always based on the Word of God. Let me say that again. True faith is always based on the Word of God. For example, the Bible tells us that saving faith is based on the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. You know, if it were not for the Word of God, you could not have saving faith in Jesus Christ. You would know from history that a man named Jesus lived about 2,000 years ago. You would know that he performed many miracles and that he was hailed by the people as a prophet. You would know that he was crucified and that he was seen alive again, but you would not know what any of that means. It is only when we read or hear the Word of God that we understand that Jesus is the Son of God who died to pay the penalty for our sins. It is through the Word of God that we are told the unseen reality behind the historical events. Now we can exercise faith in Christ and be saved. And so true faith is always based on the Word of God. That is how we know the reality of things unseen, because our faith is based on the absolute certainty of God's Word. So, how do you know that you can trust God's Word? Well, you begin where Hebrews 11 begins. You begin with creation. Do you want to grow in your faith as a Christian? Then first of all, you must understand the power of God's Word in creation. Understand that God created the whole world out of nothing by the power of His Word. So look at verse 3 again. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Now those two little words, by faith, okay, those compose the refrain of our whole chapter 19 times here in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read those two little words, by faith. You know what? They may be small words, but they represent giant accomplishments, giant works of God in the lives of the Old Testament believers and in our lives as well. And each section of Hebrews chapter 11, it begins with those two little words, by faith, and each section tells us what that specific person did or accomplished by their faith. So that's really what this whole series is about. As we study each of these sections, we're going to learn more of what faith means in our lives and how we also may live by faith. Now, this first section here deals with the creation of the world. By faith, we understand that God created the universe out of nothing by the power of His Word. That means that God did not need or use any pre-existing materials. That which is seen, okay, the physical world, the entire universe as we know it, that which is seen was created out of absolutely nothing. And Hebrews 11:3 tells us we understand this by faith. And the reason we understand this is by faith is that none of us was around to see it, right? We have no eyewitnesses of creation among us. There were no historians writing down each step of creation as it happened. There were no news teams filming the event to show it all later at 11 p.m. No, God's creation of the world out of nothing by the power of His Word is an unseen reality, which we really only know because God has told us about it. Once again, faith is always a response to God's Word. And so we understand this creation event by faith. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed. And that word formed here, it's a word that means something that has been completed or accomplished. We find a similar word in Genesis chapter 2. Right after we finish reading the creation account in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2 verse 1 says this, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. So how was the universe formed or completed? Hebrews 11:3 says, at God's command. And the word that's translated command here, it's a word which normally refers to speech or utterance. And so we could actually translate it this way. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at the spoken word of God. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed by the spoken word of God. God spoke and it happened. At first, there's nothing there, nothing but God. Then God speaks, and the universe came into being by the power of his word. So how do we know this is true? I mean, did God really do this? Did God really create the world out of nothing by the power of his word? We may not have been around to witness the creation of the world, but God has given us some strong confirmations concerning this truth that we've just learned here in Hebrews 11, verse 3. Let me share with you three ways that God confirms this for us. First of all, the Bible confirms it. The Bible confirms it. Now, for those of us who believe in God's word, even if this verse, Hebrews 11, 3, even if that was the only place, right, that taught us about God speaking the world into existence, we would still believe it, right? Our faith is a response to God's word. And so if God said it even once, that would be enough for us, right? But our faith is strengthened by the fact that God's word bears a consistent testimony to this truth, that God created the world out of nothing by the power of his word. For example, we could just look at the creation account in Genesis chapter 1. And just as those two words, by faith, just as those words are the continuing refrain in Hebrews chapter 11, so Genesis chapter 1 has a continuing refrain of the words, and God said. That's the continuing refrain in Genesis chapter 1. Let me read to you some from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, there's our refrain, right? And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. And it was so. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. And that's just the beginning of the chapter. Again and again throughout Genesis chapter 1, we hear God speak. And God said, and as God speaks forth each command, the world is created and formed. And then there are many other scripture passages which also confirm this truth. Psalm 33 says this in verses 6 and 9, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Or you could look at Psalm 148. Psalm 148 is really just a joyful song of praise to God for his creation. Let me just read verses 1 through 5 for you. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Why? For he commanded and they were created. How do we know God created the world out of nothing? By the power of his word, first of all, the Bible confirms it. And then secondly, nature confirms it. The Bible confirms it. And then secondly, nature confirms it also. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says this, very interesting verse. It says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, okay, the things we can't see about God, we can see creation, right? Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have clearly been seen, being understood from what has been made so that men are without excuse. So Romans 1:20 tells us that creation itself testifies to God's eternal power and his divine nature. The vastness of creation is a testimony to God's infinite power. The detailed order and intricacies of the universe bear testimony to God's divine nature. Everywhere you look in nature, you see intelligence, you see purpose, you see design. Isaac Newton was a scientist who was also a firm believer in God. And in his study, Newton had this really just beautiful replica of the then-known solar system. And it was made perfectly to scale. And, you know, he had a large golden ball in the center, and that represented the sun. And then the known planets at that time, they revolved around it through a whole series of cogs and belts and rods. Just an amazing machine. One day, a friend of his stopped by who didn't believe in God, okay, stopped by for a visit. And this man just simply marveled at the machine. He said, Isaac, who made this? And Isaac Newton replied, nobody. Nobody? His friend asked. Yeah, that's right, Newton said. All of these balls and cogs and belts and gears, they just happened to come together. And wonder of wonders, by chance, they began revolving in their set orbits with perfect timing. Now, of course, Newton was joking around here, but what was his point? His point was simply this. If it's so obvious that even just a scaled-down model of the solar system had to be made by somebody, how much more obvious is it that the real solar system also had to be designed by somebody? And the more we learn about the complexity of design in the universe today, whether on the grand scale of spinning galaxies and rotating planets, or on the microscopic scale of cells and atoms and biochemical reactions, the more nature confirms what the Bible has said all along, that this world is the product of an intelligent, purposeful creator. It is not just a big accident in process. Anthony Flew was a famous philosopher who lived in England. He passed away in the year 2010. And Anthony Flew, he wrote many books promoting atheism. He lectured all around the world. He once even debated C.S. Lewis on the existence of God. The London Times described Flew as one of the most renowned atheists of the past half century, whose papers and lectures have formed the bedrock of unbelief for many adherents. I just love that phrase, the bedrock of unbelief, as though you could have a foundation for unbelief. So Anthony Flew, he was one of the most famous atheists in the whole world. But what is interesting about Anthony Flew is that after being a lifelong atheist, he changed his mind about God a number of years before he passed away. In the year 2004, he came to believe in an intelligent creator. And when he was asked why he would suddenly embrace belief in a creator God after all his years of atheism, he cited the complexity of design as found in nature. For him, it was all about the evidence. Flew said this in a 2005 interview in the Christianity Today magazine. He said, "Since the beginning of my philosophical life, I have followed the policy of Plato's Socrates, that we must follow the argument wherever it leads." And in his case, the argument, the evidence, led him to believe, along with Einstein, in an intelligence that produced the integrative complexity of creation. In 2007, he co-authored a book called There Is a God, How the World's Most Notorious Atheist Changed His Mind. Now, as far as I know, Anthony Flew never became a Christian. He never publicly embraced Christ as his Savior. But he did take a good, hard, honest look at the evidence of nature around him. And he turned from atheism to belief in a creator God. Why? Because nature confirms the truth of God's creation. How do we know God created the world out of nothing by the power of his word? Number one, the Bible confirms it. Number two, nature confirms it. And then thirdly, science. Science also confirms it. One of the axioms of science is that in the physical world, nothing comes from nothing, right? Nothing comes from nothing. All matter and energy are conserved. And so scientists who do not believe in God have a problem. Because if nothing comes from nothing, then where did everything come from, right? Nothing comes from nothing. Where did it all come from? And for a while, many scientists simply postulated that the physical matter of the universe didn't come from anywhere. They said that matter is eternal. The universe has no beginning. Now, this idea was popularized by the well-known scientist Carl Sagan, who passed away back in 1996. But Sagan was perhaps best known for his public television series called The Cosmos. And Sagan opened that series each week intoning those famous words, "The cosmos is all that is, or ever was, or ever will be. The cosmos is all that is, or ever was, or ever will be." And you listen to that, and what is that except blatant belief in the eternal nature of matter and the universe? So these scientists would say, well, the universe didn't come from anywhere. It's just always been there. It's always existed. Now, in a sense, they almost had to believe this, right? Because if the universe is all that there is, as Carl Sagan said, and then if it turns out that the universe had a beginning, then that would mean that something came from nothing. But we know nothing comes from nothing. And so that would mean that the universe had to come from something outside of the universe. And that would mean God. Well, this idea of an eternal universe, it may have worked fine for a while, but guess what? Scientists have discovered, the more they examine the universe, they've discovered that everything in the universe points to the fact that it did have a beginning. All the evidence demonstrates that the universe is not eternal, but that it began at a point in time. And this means that matter is not eternal, but it came from somewhere. And you know what? Science cannot explain that. Science can do a lot of things. I love science. It can do a lot of things, but it cannot explain how something came from nothing. There's an old joke which I think illustrates this point pretty well. One day, a group of scientists got together, decided they no longer needed God. So they picked one to go tell him. So he told God, he said, "God, we don't need you anymore. We can do a lot of things now. We can cure diseases. We can clone people. We can even create life. So you can just go your way, pack up your things and go. We'll be just fine." And God listened to the man and said, "Okay, but first, let's have a man-making contest. We'll do it just like I did back in the old days with Adam." "No problem," said the scientist. And he bends down to scoop up a handful of dirt. And God stopped him and said, "Oh, no, no, no. You get your own dirt." See, once again, nothing comes from nothing. Science is discovering that the universe did have a beginning. And therefore, matter did come from somewhere. And this creates an insurmountable difficulty for scientists who do not believe in God. Now, those scientists who do believe in God, many scientists believe in God. Those scientists who do believe in God understand that God created the physical world and all of its properties out of nothing. In fact, the knowledge that God created the world, that is what prompted scientific inquiry to begin with. Scientists reasoned, if God created an orderly world, that means we can study God's world and we can find the order and wisdom behind it. Science was birthed from a Christian worldview. The pagan religions did not produce modern science. Christianity did. Hebrews 11:3 tells us that God created the world out of nothing. That means he did not use any pre-existing material because there was nothing there to use. God simply spoke and the universe came to be. Now, folks, okay, that is power, right? That is power. And the Bible confirms it. Nature confirms it. Science confirms it. We weren't there to see it, but that does not make it any less real. It is an unseen reality that we understand by faith. Remember, if you want to grow in your faith as a Christian, then you must understand the power of God's Word, because true faith is always based on the Word of God. So that's our first point this morning. Understand the power of God's Word in creation. God created everything out of nothing by the power of His own Word. Understand the power of God's Word in creation. And then our second point is really just an application of that first point. Number two, understand the power of God's Word in your life. Understand the power of God's Word in your own life. One of the ways that God's Word functions in our lives as believers is through the promises of God. And as Christians, we need to learn to trust God's promises. If God says something, then we know that it is true. It is impossible for God to lie. If God promises something, then that promise is certain. Now, you or I, we might make promises, and we might not keep them for a variety of reasons. Perhaps we never intended to keep the promise. That could be one reason. Or perhaps we made the promise with good intentions, but then later on we change our minds. That could be another reason. Or perhaps we really tried to keep the promise, but future events, which we could not foresee at the time, intervened. But you see, God doesn't have any of these problems, right? When God makes a promise, He always intends to fill it. And God never changes His mind. And because God knows the future, He's never caught off guard or surprised by future events. God makes His promises with the future already in mind. And He has unlimited power to fulfill His promises perfectly. So, if God says that something will happen, it's going to happen, okay? Future events foretold by the power of God's Word are just as real. They're just as real as past events which took place because of the power of God's Word. And the Bible is filled with examples of fulfilled prophecy which demonstrate the power of God's Word over and over again. Numbers 23, verse 19 tells us this: God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? Of course not. The Bible is full of God's promises to you as a believer. And when God makes a promise, you may trust God to fulfill it. Remember, faith is your response to God's Word. God spoke and the whole world came into being. That is ultimate power. And God can easily fulfill all of His promises in Scripture. And that leads us to our final point this morning. We not only need to learn to trust God's promises, we also need to learn to trust God's power. God's power. You know, sometimes we look at the various situations in our life and we really don't see the answer. We don't see any way out. You know, and we say, God, how can you possibly make a difference here? There's nothing here for you even to work with, right? Well, guess what? God doesn't need anything to work with. That's part of what Hebrews 11:3 is teaching us this morning. This is why creation is the supreme example of God's power, because in creation, God made something out of nothing. And God not only made something, look at what He made, right? Look at the vastness of the universe which God created. And you know, your problems in life, they may seem pretty big, right? But they are dwarfed by the size of the universe. And if God can simply speak and cause the entire universe to come into being out of nothing, God can take care of you as well. God does not need anything to work with, because God can simply speak and cause that which is not to come into existence. Now, Abraham in the Bible is a good example of this. God promised Abraham a son, but there's one problem, actually Two problems. Sarah was barren, and Abraham was an old man. Not going to happen, right? But Romans 4 tells us this. It says, Abraham believed in the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Now we're going to be looking more at Abraham's faith in the coming weeks, but for now I want you to notice just a few key phrases from Romans chapter 4. Romans 4 tells us that Abraham believed in the God who calls things that are not as though they were. He calls things that are not as though they were. And you might wonder, well, how can God do that? Why can God do that? Because God can speak that which is not into existence. And then we also read that Abraham was fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. There's that deep conviction and certainty that we talked about last week from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And Abraham's faith was not just a blind faith based on his own hopes and wishes. Gee, I really hope we have a son someday, right? No, Abraham's faith was based on what? On the promise and power of God. Abraham was strengthened in his faith. He gave glory to God. Why? Because he was fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Once again, this is such an important principle for our lives. True biblical faith is always based on the Word of God. It's not a shot in the dark. It is a reasonable response to the sure and certain Word of God. That same Word which had the power to create the entire universe out of nothing. So do you want to grow in your faith? Then understand the power of God's Word in creation, as well as in your own life. Let me close our message today with two applications from our passage today. Number one, first of all, you are accountable to God as your creator. You're accountable to God. Creation testifies to God's existence and to his eternal power, his divine nature. And therefore, the Bible says that you are without excuse. If you live in this universe, which you do, right? If you live in this universe, then you have the evidence of God all around you. And you can try and stuff it. You can try and suppress the truth. You can try and forget that God created this world by the power of his word. But the Bible says you are still accountable to God. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20 says this: the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Well, the book of 2 Peter also speaks about your accountability to God who created all things by speaking it into existence. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 5, we read this: in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. And they will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed. So that's our first application. Whoever you are this morning, wherever you are this morning, you are accountable to God as your creator. And then our second application is this: you can trust God's word even when you cannot see it. If God made the whole world out of nothing just by speaking, then you can trust God's word even when you can't see it. Remember what we learned from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1? If you can see it, it's not faith. If you can see it, it's not faith. But when God speaks something into existence, it is real, whether you can see it or not. Of course, this is especially true when it comes to Jesus Christ, that God sent his son Jesus to die for your sins so that you could be saved, so that you could be forgiven. Yes, you're accountable to God for your life. You're accountable to God for your sin, but Jesus died for those sins. Maybe you can't see it. Maybe you don't understand how it all works, but by faith, you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. So what is faith? Faith is being certain of realities we cannot see. And how do we know these realities are true? Because of the Word of God. By faith, we understand the power of God's Word in creation and the power of God's Word in our lives. By faith, we trust God's promises and His power in our own lives, even when, especially when, we cannot see the solution. So if you take last week's message and this week's message and you put them all together, what do you get? What are our two big lessons from last week and this week? Number one, faith is being certain of realities that you cannot see. And number two, faith is always based on the Word of God. Let us pray. Well, dear God, we thank you for your Word this morning. Once again, it is your Word that is the basis for our faith. And Lord, we thank you for your power, for your divine nature. We thank you for the power displayed in creation. We thank you for the power displayed in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. Lord, help us to take these truths to heart this morning, that we can be certain of the realities we do not see, and we know what is real. How? Because of your Word. Because you have spoken to us. Because you have given us your Word. We can trust you. We can believe in you. We can grow in our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.